don't know, reaping the benefits of that and just going out there and just, but that's the ministry God called me. I can't do it like other people. I know some people who tried to get, as a matter of fact, I had a brother come against me one time, you know, said, well, I don't see that in the Bible. And he actually went to the pastor, you know, where I was going, you know, connected with at that time. And the pastor sat him down and said, brother, he's got the fruits, but you don't. He's going out there and doing it and reaping, but you're not. You know, why are you coming against him, you know? And but he was wanting me to do it in his way of, and I never did understand what he was wanting me to do, but I can only be who I am, you know. I'm not a Cadell's. I'm not anybody else. I'm Paul Reimel, and God's using my personality because He created my personality, and just like He created everybody else's personality, and I always encourage people: don't try to copycat me. Just let God use your personality, and whatever capacity of what He's wanting you to do. If you're not called to, you know, to evangelize all of, that's cool. You just do what God's called you to do, you know, and all that. So, but one thing, the Lord, what you just said right there, really put in my heart quite a few years ago is it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance.
Yes.
And one thing, they know if you're genuine or a fake. I did like you did too, brother. I was going into the hospital and all that, and we would go sometimes in the baby section, you know, and where the, you know, the intensive care where the little babies were. And me and a brother went up there one time at Children's Hospital, and I go into the waiting room and just start talking to people and just ask them if they want some prayer or whatever, you know. And so I started praying with somebody. And this lady was, you know, I didn't even know this person was observing us, you know. And so all this person wanted us to do was just to pray with them, to sit down and pray. They didn't want us to go in there and pray for their baby or anything like that, but they did want us to pray for them just in the waiting room, and we did. We sat down with them and, you know, kind of hold their hands and prayed with them and all that. And then after we released, this lady came up behind me and she said, I've been watching you guys. You're for real. And I got a little baby in there, and I would like you to come in there and pray for the little baby. So we did, you know, and I didn't know they welcomed that kind of stuff, you know, in intensive care. So we went in there and prayed for the little baby, and it had all kinds of instruments in it and all that, and I'm not a doctor and all that, so I don't know what all that stuff is, so. Anyway, we prayed and then we moved on, you know, and stuff like that. So, I have gone in with my sister was in the hospital many years ago, and she was actually dying in the hospital, and we came up, we didn't know it at the time, and me and a brother was outside, and there was these nurses, male and female, were in and out, and there was chaos going on, but we couldn't get in because there was just such a traffic. And so we just stood out and just prayed. And so we were there for maybe about 30 minutes just praying out there because we knew we couldn't get in because they were in and out. Well, her heart rate was dropping and dropping and dropping, and we heard them say that, you know. So we're out there just praying. Well, finally, all of a sudden, it's just like they all left. It's like the Lord just supernaturally just got them out of the way, and we came in, and my sister recognized me. And she was white as almost like a ghost or whatever you want to call it, you know, white as a sheet. And so I laid my hands on her. We just, this brother just started praying for her. And, well, we felt the anointing. I mean, it was pretty powerful because she was dying. And so after we prayed for her, about 5 minutes later, they started coming back in. So we backed off. And her lips were kind of stammering a little bit. My sister was saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, but her lips were kind of just shaking. It was real, real dry, you know, and her lips. And she said she felt the anointing come in her, you know. And so all of a sudden, you know, we had to exit back out because they started coming back in. And then we heard, her heart rate is going back up. You know, I mean, her blood pressure is going back up. I think I said it right. Her blood pressure was actually going low, dropping. But they said her blood pressure was going back up to normal again. You know, and so we didn't get a chance to go in there again. But of course, my sister got healed in that situation. God can use us any way He wants to. However you want, you know, however the Lord wants to use you, He's going to use you. You know, He's just looking for yielded vessel. You know, some people just have such a heart of love of God that they're just nothing but encouragers. They know when they open their mouth and the words that come through their mouth, they just have a way of ministering to people's heart. You know, I've seen some people that are not much of evangelists, but when they around people, they have a way of lifting up people's spirits. And bringing that refreshing into them and all that. So we all have different giftings that God has called us to, and we should not be jealous of another man's giftings at all. And if somebody battles with that, you know, let me just encourage you. Just repent and believe the gospel. You're serving the Lord, you know. Get your eyes focused on God. Forget about, you know, love your brothers and sisters, because God said, blessed is when the brothers dwell in unity. You know, God really can move in a mighty, mighty place, a mighty situation when brothers are dwelling in unity. You know, why are we jealous of another man's gift? If we just put the word of God says, if you think about your brother better than yourself, jealousy will fly out the window. And we should look at our brothers if they're better than ourselves. And if you do that, you won't be jealous of another brother's giftings. Or we have to come out of that star glory thing of wanting to be something when we're all nothing. You know, when we've done all, consider yourself an unprofitable servant, which is our duty to do, you know. So God's called us into doing good works, and we're going to be involved in doing good works, but don't pat yourself on the back. Give the glory to Jesus. That's one thing I learned a long time ago. I do not pat myself on the back when I'm out there and I see the mighty works of God at times. Do I see this all the time? No, because the Lord has reeled me back in the house for, you know, a lot to study, to show myself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. And to get wisdom and to get knowledge and to get understanding, not to get puffed up, but to know the will of God. And see, that's where Brother UBM is helping a lot of us brothers and sisters out there to get in the Word of God, to feed on the Lord Jesus, you know, to get understanding, to get knowledge. And so we will know the will of God. And I tell you what, I've seen the growth, the spiritual growth in my life in the last 5 or 6 years. And my wife too, and Vicky, you know, just we've been really growing by leaps and bounds. And some of the sister that comes to our home meeting too, and these other places where I go at the boarding houses, that's what I do. I minister the things freely I have received, I freely give. You know, I don't hold nothing back. Have I had some resistance from people at times? Absolutely. But I don't get mad at them. I just pray for them, you know. And because that's the best thing to do is just pray for people. And that's what the Lord is grooming us, you know, for these last days. We have to die. We have to die. You know, we have to let the flesh be crucified. You know, it's not us that live anymore. It's Christ that lives in us. And we have to let His life flow through us. We must decrease so He can increase in our lives. And that's a walk, because we're called to walk as He walked, to walk in Him. And it's all about Jesus. It's not about us at all. And it's just a manifesting His life. And we're representatives of Jesus, to represent Jesus to this earth and to the called out ones, you know, and all that. So there's a lot of sheep out there that need to hear His voice so they can respond to that voice. That's something the Lord's really got into my heart for the last probably year or so, about His sheep hear my voice and will not follow a stranger. So that gave me another little twist concerning evangelism. I'm thinking, every time I'm out there and I'm being led of God's Spirit, He's leading me to His sheep. That's what he's been doing. He's been leading me to his sheep. I don't go out there and just say, I'm going to go out there and evangelize. I don't do that anymore. And we're living 24/7 with Jesus. It's a daily walk with Jesus. You know, we just get up in the morning and put in the Lord Jesus first, you know, and just walking as he walked. And get all your self-motivations out of the way and props. I don't get into props. I don't do props at all. A lot of people like to use props. I don't like to use props. I don't believe you have to use props. If somebody's starting out and wants to use props and they're comfortable with that, well, that's good. God can use anything. But I just don't do that. I don't get into the programs. I don't get into anything. I just want to be whoever Jesus wants me to be. And I want to be a blessing to my brothers. I want to be a blessing to our sisters out there. And that's what's in my heart. And that's what God's been pouring into my heart. Brother David, I don't know if I shared this with you, but a few years ago, the Lord, and you said that some other brothers had this vision too. I was going to minister at this. The Lord was going to actually open the door for me to minister at this church. It was called the Word of Life, but not the main Word of Life that's in Birmingham, but it's a smaller version. They're not connected at all. It kind of swung on the Pentecostal kind of end of it. But I was laying in the bed, and my wife was doing some things, you know, in preparation before we left. And I just kind of laid down on the bed, and the Lord, I saw a vision of Jesus on a cross. And I said, wow. And I was just standing there looking at him. And he's a Jew. And you talk about bloody. He was bloody all over. And I saw where the beard was actually pulled out. And the thorns, I mean, they was like it was crushed in his head, you know. And I was just looking at him with amazement, like, wow. Just seeing the love of God being poured out, demonstrating what this man done for us. And then he just kind of looked down at me, and he said, now go do what I called you to do. Well, he didn't really give me no instructions. He just said that. But when he said that, it's like I felt the love of God just being poured down into my heart. And you just have to understand my background. So this is really meant a lot to me, you know. And I just felt the love of God being shed abroad in my heart, you know. Then I came out of the vision, you know. It was a matter. Well, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the honor of a king to search it out. So I had to search out exactly what he was talking about, you know. But then after a while, you know, the Lord gave me a vision, gave me some other things. You know, no matter what God calls you, and He will confirm. He has ways of showing you what He has called you into. And we're all unique, you know. Like, let's just say Brother Bill is totally different from me. Brother Rob is totally different from you. You know, we're all different. But God puts, you know, everybody together, you know. And there's sometimes, you know, there may be some rubbing. That does happen, you know. But then God smooths that as people get together and get to know one another. You know, and then sometimes God uses that to expose your heart, you know, the evil heart that you have. And so God uses all that, you know, so we can get things right and learn to put our brothers and sisters above ourselves and to take on His mind and to be lowly and to humble ourselves before a mighty God. And those are the things that the Lord's really been teaching me for the last few years, brother. He's used UBM and through your teachings and listening to testimonies of other brothers and sisters and others teaching and all that. It's just really been a blessing to me. Sometimes I felt like, you know, Lord, am I going to ever have really good fellowship with any brothers, real brothers that are like mine? Well, see, well, I've learned to just wait on the Lord. And me and Vicky talked about a lot of things. I said, you know, God has a timing for all that. He's just wanted us to soak in Him for a while. He just wanted us to feed on Him and to pray and to believe. And and all that. And then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, the Lord started opening the door where I got to come down there and visit you. And I think you probably remember I came down saying, I'm starving for some fellowship. You know, I want some fellowship. And so I came down there a few times and all that, making that connection, you know. And it's been a blessing to me. And just to listen to you as you're ministering and teaching on the Word of God and bringing the body of Christ into the deeper things of God. And you don't get that too much anywhere else. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Freely I have been receiving, I've been also giving out what I've been learning through you, too. And it's been a blessing because people are listening. God has sent me out to the nobody, to the castaway, and the people that nobody wants to have nothing to do with, you know, and most people won't want to go into it, but that's not their calling. That's the reason why God's not sending them. He's sending me in those areas, you know, people that have been damaged, people that have been hurt, people that have been, you know, a battle with depression or battle with schizophrenia or whatever, you know, can't function in society and all that. I mean, it's just amazing what God, how the Lord has brought us to people. And we just sit down and we just talk with them, you know, and just talk to them. And I'm learning to listen to people, you know, a little bit. My wife still says I have a little time to go, but that's okay. But I am listening to people and stuff and as I go out. And that's the key right there is listening to people first and let them spit out, because one of the discernments I've had is when somebody opens their mouth and starts talking, you know, have you ever noticed that you know where they're at? And just like Paul was able to come down to their level and say and start ministering so he could bring them up. Sometimes you have to bring them up just a little bit. You know, you can't bring them up too much or you're going to be overwhelming to them. So those are some of the things that we've been learning, too, is meeting people where they're at and not to overwhelm people. If I start seeing that I'm overwhelming somebody, I'll back off. And one of the things that you've ministered on a lot is let people grow at their own rate. That really was a revelation to me about a year and a half ago when you started saying that, wasn't it, honey? Yeah, I mean, I even brought that into as I'm ministering to people, you know, learning to let people grow at their own rate and not to put too much on somebody what they can't handle and all that. So God wants us also to walk in the balance and everything, you know, and meet people where they're at. But let our light so shine, because that's the light of God, Christ in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we're allowing Him to shine forth, you know, and just meeting people where they're at. Like, you know, I think you mentioned, you were talking about calling the serpent, you know. I never heard that before. And I thought, you know, we were kidding around here for a while. We said, well, we need to charm the serpent first, you know. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You've got to be gentle with people. That word gentle that I'm seeing in the Bible, those scriptures about being gentle with all has really started something that I'm learning to do, is to be gentle. Because I haven't always been gentle. Sometimes I can be rough around the edges myself. So that gentleness, learning to be gentle with people and not feel like that you always have to have something to say. Let the people talk. And so I probably...
You know, Paul, what helped me to deal with people a lot was to realize that people are what they are, and they are generally a product of their inheritance from mom and dad, and a product of their society around them, how they were brought up, and culture, and so on and so forth. And that if I had gone through what they had gone through with their inheritance and their situations, I would be them.
Uh-huh.
So it helped me to see that, you know, you got to be merciful with people. You know, they can't be more than what they are unless you help them to receive more of Jesus. It's like you were saying a while ago, people know when you love them, and they know when you're just religious. they know when they're bumping into Jesus, and they know when they're bumping into people that are just Pharisees or religious, and they've got an agenda to save so many souls and mark it on their, you know, their notches, you know. You know, we can't give away what we don't have. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, seek to get the beam out of your own eye so you can see clearly to get the mote out of your brother's eye. What he's saying is it's important for you to have a relationship with Jesus. It's more important to God that you have a relationship with him than it is that you go out and religiously share the gospel with people.
Amen.
You know, when you got Jesus in you, he can share the gospel with people. That's the anointing that breaks the yoke there. When people see Jesus in you, that's the most powerful thing they can see. But you got to have a fellowship with Jesus so that you can go do his work. You know, he said, seek first the kingdom of God. And he said, also get the beam out of your own eye first, you know. There are people out there that, again, they're ministering and they're, you know, justified by their works, they feel, in their heart, you know, because they're out there talking to people on the streets. But they're just as mean as they can be, and people know it. You know, and the people want to see love in you. They want to see Jesus in you. They want to know something that's real in you, you know. And they want to see power, too. We don't just go and preach a powerless gospel, a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. From such turn away, the Lord tells us. You know, if you are sent to do this, you're sent with gifts of the Spirit. And
Amen.
If you're just dried up and people are passing you by and they don't want to stop and talk to you, don't get a persecution complex. Find out what's wrong, you know. And I want to encourage you, other elder brothers, to jump in here, too, and share your experiences. That would be just awesome. And, you know, I appreciate very much people whose calling is evangelism. Mine's always been more in the area of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's not to say that we don't see people get saved. We see lots of people get saved. And, I mean, just sitting and listening to teaching, people do get saved. Or reading our book or reading something, you know, that people get saved. I get witnesses like that all the time, you know. I wasn't stuck on a particular format, you know, when I was going out. But I would go in different areas of the city. I would go with other brothers. I would go to tent meetings. I would go, standing on street corners, I've done that. And I don't have any agenda as far as where to do it, just to be successful when I go. If you're going in the gift of God, you're going to be successful. If you're not being successful, it's no good for you to just have a persecution complex saying, well, they rejected Jesus, they'll reject me. No, that's baloney. If you've got a gift, it's going to bear fruit, okay? And if you're not bearing fruit, it's because you don't have a gift. You may be doing it your way. You may have your own ideas, okay? But if you got a gift, it's going to bear fruit because, you know, he sent his word and healed them. That's what the Bible says. And God's word living in us will bring forth that fruit in other people, no matter whether it's an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, evangelist, or teacher. That doesn't matter, you know. That gift will bear fruit. You know, there's different areas of saving souls. Some people just want to bring people in the kingdom, and that's their gift, is to bring people in the kingdom. And then there's other people that are teachers. They're supposed to pick them up from there and carry them on a little bit further, right? So everybody's got their gift, and don't try to get in another man's gift, and don't try to force him into your gift. Just let him do what the Lord has put in his heart. And, but the most important thing, as Paul will tell you, is you have to have a relationship with the Lord, because it's the Lord doing this through you. And his life in you is what's bearing fruit, right? Remember, the fruit has the seed in it. you know, the fruit does. So there's a lot of people that go out there without no fruit trying to raise a crop, you know, but the seed is in the fruit. So if you don't have any fruit, don't go out there and bring a bad name upon Jesus Christ or Christianity, you know. What do you think about that, Paul?
Oh, amen. And just to confirm what you just said, you know, there for a while, it didn't matter where I went, I would run across somebody that, you know, had a prophetic anointing or something. They would say, God wants to spend time with you. God wants to spend time with you. But because of the relationship that I had with my, no relationship with my real father and no relationship with my stepdad, it was like God was, you know, he was meeting me where I was at with him. Because I felt like I had more like a relationship with the Lord Jesus than more than the Father, you know. And until I started hearing some testimonies coming from UVM about them, people saying, you know, my father did this and my father did that. I wasn't accustomed to that, you know, hearing that. And so that changed me big time. But when I was obedient to it, it took a few people to say that. Here I am doing the works, but you know what? If I continually to stay in that route, I could have been one of those that God could have said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, because there was no relationship. You know, and so that is so important to have a relationship with the Father and the Son. And that really brought a transformation in my life when I did, where I wasn't going out so much, but I came in to where the Lord could feed me. And I could read the Bible and the study to show myself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, and being led by the Spirit in my study. And, you know, I don't do probably how a lot of other people do. Sometimes, brother, I could be camping out on a paragraph for a week, you know, and the Lord's showing me things in there, and it's just, I'm at awe, you know, of what's in the Word of God. And but there again, in studying, everybody's different how they study. And like reading your book, the Lord used your book, Sovereignty of God. I sometimes would camp out on a paragraph or two and for 2 or 3 days before I moved on. I just can't sit down and just go through it and just read it. I mean, I'm not that way. I'm not built that way. But the Lord would just have me in that, just feeding on His Word or reading your book or something. And because when you read your books, I noticed it's just really reading the Word of God, because there's so much of the Word in there. And so you're just feeding on the Word of God and having a relationship with Jesus. And when I talk with the Father, it's like I'm talking with you. It's so different than it was way back then. And that relationship, that I would strive that more than anything else. Before you do anything, just like David L. says, go home and read your Bible and feed on the Word of God. And then when you're ready, God will, whatever capacity or whatever function that God's wanting to use, the capacity how He wants to use you in, He'll send you out, whether it's a teacher or a prophet or a pastor or whatever, you know. Be what God wants you to. Don't try to be somebody else, because I can't do what David L. does. There ain't no way I can spend 14 hours a day reading the Word of God, because God did not put that in me to do that. But I can glean from David L. We can glean from one another. We can learn from one another. That's a blessing, because I do learn from other people all the time. When I'm around different people, I see their, you know, how God's using them. I say, wow, that's pretty cool. And I get blessed to see how other people are being used differently and all that. So it's not a one-man show, is it?
No, it's not.
Praise God.
I thank the Lord it isn't. He has so many different flavors out there, you know.
Amen.
But he does bring all things to your remembrance that He says to you, and
absolutely.
So you have to, but which means, of course, that you've got to put it in there first, so He can bring it to your remembrance. And you can give away what God gives to you, but if you don't spend time with the Lord, you can't give it away, because you don't have it in you, you know. So
that's
very important that it's Jesus doing this work, and He won't get burned out. You know, he's all powerful to do what He wants to do. Right?
Absolutely. That's a blessing, too. That really is what you just said right there. It's just let God be true and every man a liar. And, you know, like you said, really opened my eyes that the Christ in us is truth. But that old nature, that old man, he's a liar. And he needs to be put to death. Have no mercy on the old man. Because he's earthly. He doesn't. He's not spiritually at all. And we just need to grow up in him. And let him use us in the capacity he wants to use. I'd be interested to hear some other brothers share some
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
Well, David, I'll mention something here, and I know you both are, you know, kind of we're camping out on a really, you know, critical point, and that is, you know, the relationship with Jesus, the relationship with the Father, and knowing Him, and being able to the point where He and His Word being in us so much that it just that's what comes out. You know, if we put enough Word in us, it oozes out. You know, it flows out, and that Word is, you know, being the life of Jesus. It's such a reflection of Him. You know, you said that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. You know, and that we shall be His witnesses. And He gives us that anointing to be His witnesses. And, you know, and unless we're walking under the direction and under the power of that Holy Spirit, and if we're in the flesh, we're still a witness, but it's not a witness of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, to be a witness of Jesus, it's doing what He's done, you know, doing His works, walking as He walked. It's reflecting Him. And, so, with that guiding and submission to the Holy Spirit, and allowing the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit, that's when we can correctly reflect Jesus, and that's when people can see Jesus and they know it's real. You know, people know a fake; they know the real thing, and. It's the real thing melts hearts, you know. The Holy Spirit just melts hearts, and will speak to people, and give the word of knowledge that you know, like Paul, you mentioned the person you talked to in London, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit gave you that word of knowledge,
yeah.
And about his mother praying for him. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit just grabbed his heart with those words as they came out of your mouth. You know, and it was a witness to him that God was speaking to him through you. And it was also a confirmation to him, too, that, you know, the Lord wants to speak more to him and is trying to get his attention, like he even testified about. You know, but we have to permit the Holy Spirit to move through us and yield to Him. That's the challenge. Is how can we be an ambassador of Jesus Christ and correctly represent Him? You know, if we're walking in the flesh or being a Pharisee and just, you know, not loving, you know, not loving as Jesus loved. You know, the in Acts 4 it talks about. In verse 13 it says, "Now they observed the confidence or the boldness of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." Now, I think really that what they're seeing there in this and perceiving is that is in the spirit of seeing the life of Jesus Christ on them. In them, not so much that hey, we know that these guys we saw them following, walking around with Jesus. No, they could see the life of Jesus Christ in these guys by the boldness and by, you know, because they were doing the same thing that he did, you know, and That's the same thing with us. And it's the same thing as we spend time with Jesus. People can see that we've been with Jesus, and they'll see him as we correctly represent him according to his word by the power of his Holy Spirit and under that anointing. So it's a powerful thing. So amen, amen.
Hey, Brother Rob, you said something something the Lord showed me a while back about as I go out or I'm ministering to people, just like Paul, you know, he was wanting to go into a direction, but that's not where the Lord wanted him to go because he hadn't opened up their hearts to receive what Paul had. And so the Holy Spirit restrained him from going into another area, and he ended up going somewhere else.
Right.
With evangelism, one thing you have to remember is you don't want to get ahead of the Lord. So just let God lead you and where he wants to send you, and let him open the doors because he knows their hearts. He knows what they can receive, what they can't receive. One thing I learned a long time ago is you're wasting that person's time, God's time, and your time if you're trying to force a situation, because if God hasn't opened up their heart to receive the love of the truth, to receive him, well, you're putting more condemnation on that person anyway. And so it's better to be led by the Holy Spirit because, see, God knows their heart, and he created them. And he knows when it's time, if he chooses that man from the foundation, before the foundation of the world, that he's going to, pluck him out from hell, he knows it. You don't know it, but he knows it. And so we have to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and while we're moving with him. Like I said, I've learned if I start saying something and I see that the person is not really receiving, that's when you just have to, we're not proving anything. We're just out there doing what God's called us to do. The Lord may have just want that person to have one or two words, and that's it. And you have to be sensitive enough to do that and back off, because you may just be planting that seed, just like David Ellis just said. Sometimes, sometimes I just plant, and then sometimes I water. But it's God doing it on both ends. It's not us. It's he. He's doing it. He's working through us to do all that, and to reach who he has already called before the foundation of the world, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So when they hear the word of God, they're able to respond to the word of God, and it's just amazing how God's in control of all of it.
Amen. From experience and from the word the Lord taught me, that saving souls is not just an evangelist's job.
Amen.
The main thing about an evangelist's job is saving spirits. I mean, you don't have any recognition of the kingdom of God without a born-again spirit. And that's the evangelist's job, is to bring people into a born-again experience in their spirit. And then the teacher's job is also in saving, but it's in saving the soul.
Absolutely.
Teachers and pastors, their job has more to do with saving souls. That's the nature and the character, than it has to do with saving spirits. Without the saving of the spirit, nobody can grow and bear fruit in the area of their soul. That's where you bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, it doesn't matter that you came into the kingdom, because you're not going to be saved, right? So, you can't just do the work of an evangelist. Everybody, as far as I'm concerned, everybody ought to do the work of an evangelist, because anybody you're around, you ought to talk to them about the Lord, because let's face it, evangelists don't just, people who have the specific office of evangelist don't necessarily get around to everybody, but you and I do, and everybody that has has relatives and has workers around them and friends ought to be talking to them about Jesus, doing the work of an evangelist, as Paul spoke to Timothy. Now, Timothy wasn't an evangelist, but he was telling him to do the work of evangelists. And, you know, the salvation of the person is a spirit, soul, and body. It takes more than one member of the fivefold ministry to bring that into effect, or even somebody who is doing the work of an evangelist. It takes more than that to bring this person to maturity and to cause them to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So, I mean, we need the whole body of Christ here. And I believe that the Great Commission was one of the nearest and dearest things to Jesus' heart. It's very clear. I mean, you could tell by the instructions when he left that this was very, very important. He told Peter, feed my sheep. You know, feed my sheep. He kept harping on that, feed my sheep. When Peter was thinking it was all over and he's out there fishing, he kind of corrected him, He told him what was important here, And so whether you're an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher or an apostle, all of these people, their work is to bring people to bearing fruit and make them whole and bring them into the image of Jesus Christ, Glory be to God. We all got to work together. Amen?
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you for gifting us according to your will, O God. We thank you so much for drawing our hearts and giving us the peace and the joy to do what you've called us individually to do. We're just so happy, Lord, that we're able to be used of you, and we just pray, Lord, that we would be very, very efficient in walking in your steps and bringing forth the fruit of Jesus Christ in this earth. Thank you, Father, for being our Father, and thank you for walking with us daily and showing us your will and guiding us and giving us gifts to give to your people, even your people who are still in the world or don't even know you yet, for giving your gifts unto them, Father. Please help us to be fruitful, Father. Manifest the life of Jesus in us so that they can see Jesus in us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.